Our scripture lesson for today is the paragraph right after our scripture lesson for last week. So you'll hear me say a lot, they're going to connect, okay? And this is from the 14th chapter of John, and so we start at verse 15 and go through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor something knows him, but you know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will also live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and my Father, you and me, and I and you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last week we talked about transitions. We talked about this is a time of year for a lot of transitions. It's the time of year where we have graduation and commencement ceremonies and people graduate from high school or they graduate from college or they graduate from the fifth grade and they go to something else. And so it's the road that's ahead of us sometimes can be a little bit scary. And so Jesus, in this situation here, he's trying to prepare the disciples for what's about to happen in the next 24 hours. And so there's a disconnect between Jesus and the disciples because Jesus knows and they don't. They just think things are going to keep on going the way they have, you know, bopping around. You know, they just, you know, came in Jerusalem. Everybody loved him. They threw their garments down in front of him. Everybody's going to love them. And Jesus knows that, you know, one day later, he's going to be hanging on a cross and he's going to die. And so he's trying to prepare them for it. And so, last week he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. And so today, this, you know, it's just part of the same thing. He is trying to get them ready for life without him. And so I want you to see if you can think again about your transitions right now, what you are going through in your life. All of us have got different things going on. By the way, I just came from Wilmington, and there is no baby. There's no new baby yet down there. Not even any seismic activity. But I'm headed back down there after worship today. But that's a transition for my son Matthew and his wife Hannah for having their first baby. That's a big transition. We were talking, and I asked him, how you doing? He said, I'm just bored. And I said, Matthew, you need to understand, you're getting 8 hours of sleep right now. You need to be just thanking God for that 8 hours of sleep, because very soon it's going to be 2 hours at a time, And you're going to feel like you're in a U.S. Navy sleep deprivation experiment. And he said, yeah, I know. So, you know, the stuff, since it's Mother's Day, we salute the moms for going through that with us. I always say we all can't be moms, but we all had a mom. So, anyway, thank you. My mom might be listening today, so thanks, Mom. I have a present for you. Bring it this afternoon. But what is your transition? Let's think about that. What is your transition? You know, it may be that you are in retirement and you're trying to see what God has for you in retirement. You know, it's a little bit easier to understand when you have a job or you got kids that you're parenting. But in retirement, God's still not finished with you. What is God calling you to? It may be that you have lost somebody essential to your life and you're grieving over that loss. And I know that really, really personally right now. And it's not just the pain and the sadness, but it's the weirdness of that person who's always been there just not being there. It's just a strange, strange thing. And of God being with you in that. So it may be that you have just been diagnosed with some kind of disease and trying to get used to that idea of going to get treatment. It may be that you have just come through treatment and you're better. And so all those things that you were doing while sick, now you've got to figure out, how do I live my life as a healthy person? I've done, we've all had folks and friends and people who have dealt with mental illness, schizophrenia, bipolar, major depressive disorder. And as we heal from that, as we're able to get over that, there is still the challenge of, how do I live as a healthy person? As living all those years as with those disorders, I kind of got my routine and I could withdraw from people and all that. Now, how do I live as a healthy person? How do I think about the future? How do I dream dreams for myself now? So all of us have transitions, and maybe where your kids are going. But what this passage is so good for us is that it's helping us understand how Jesus talked about transitions with his disciples, who were clueless, absolutely clueless. And he's just saying, let me tell you, here's what's going on, folks. And so I just want to start with that first verse again, which is verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, he has started this whole thing, the whole talk, which is back in chapter 13, but it's the same night, same talk. He said, this is my commandment, what? That you love one another, right? As I have loved you. That's the one we do on Maundy Thursday. That's why we call it Maundy, is commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another. So he's still talking about that. But here, for the first time, we're going to see something different. It's not just the Jesus and the Father. It's what the Christian church has learned to call the Trinity, which our church is named after, the Trinity. The three manifestations of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, which are to love one another. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. Now remember, when I was in seminary and we got to this thing in Greek school, I was trying to figure out how to remember the Greek word for advocate. It also is translated counselor some places. So you will never forget what I'm about to tell you. This is my hypnosis. You will never forget it. It's the word in Greek is P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-E, paraclete. And all I had to do was think about a parakeet. So the word in Greek is paraclete, parakeet, paraclete with an L. Paraclete, I will give you the paraclete, the advocate, to be with you forever. And this is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. That is the most amazing statement right there. That means there's something in you as a Christian that is not in other people that you may work with or see every day, or even in your family, that have never actually asked Christ to come in their life. That the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor, next slide, nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you. So that is inside you. And what that means is that is the Spirit of Jesus that is in you, that's in you and me. It's a powerful thing. And I got plenty of non-Christian friends, and I love them. And we have fun together and everything. But I know there's something about my life, and when I know it's sort of a downer to have a preacher at a party. I know this. Everybody, when they cuss, they go, sorry, preacher, and they always feel like you're watching how much they're drinking, all that. But, you know, it's really important to make yourself remember this, that the Spirit of Jesus is inside of you, inside of you. He promised it would be. And that's enormous, enormous amount of power. And he says, because I live, you will also live. And so whatever your challenge is right now, whatever that transition that you kind of named, that transition, you are going to get through it okay, because the Spirit of Jesus is inside of you, and it's powerful. It's real, and it's powerful. And he says something else that's really interesting. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you orphaned. In other words, you will not be alone when you face this. So that means anything you can think of. You know, somebody's house gets swallowed up by floodwaters. Jesus says, you're not alone. I'm with you. A tornado smashes somebody's house. Jesus says, you're not alone. I'm with you. A little child hides in a closet because of the sound of thunder, or because they're afraid of monsters, or because of an abusive person that has abused them that's in the house. And Jesus says to that child, I'm with you. You're not alone. Whatever your transition is right now, you are not alone. Jesus is with you. And here's the tricky part. You can choose to be alone. Got it? Jesus says, I'm not orphaning you. I'm with you every step of the way. But you can choose to be alone. Now, I want to confess something to you. This is kind of my default mode, is to be alone and choose to be alone. Part of it is personality. I know sometimes in front of people like this, I look like an extrovert, but I'm not. I'm an introvert. What do they call it? High-functioning introvert. What?
Affable.
Affable introvert. Yeah, so thank you. But I give out energy being with people, and I need to restore my energy by being alone. And so my default mode is to do things by myself. And, you know, and that includes asking for help from anyone, and especially asking for help from Jesus. But Jesus says, look, I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you orphaned. I am with you. You are not alone. There's a great Catholic priest who I follow quite often. His name is Michael Reninger. And he says, this is very cool. He says, Jesus says that he will never leave us orphaned, but we can choose to be orphans in so many ways. We can decide to face life alone. On a practical level, we decide to be orphans, spiritual orphans, every time we stop praying, every time we stop believing, every time we stop serving, we choose to be alone. We choose isolation. Every time we stay selfish, every time we tell ourselves that God couldn't possibly love us, that God cannot help us, that God is too far away from us, we can retreat from life. We can retreat from faith. We can retreat from love. And that's just, man, it just hits too close to home for me, because it's like, I choose that. And the other choice is to choose to acknowledge that Christ is in us, that Christ's power is in us, and is able to take us places that we would not even know. But here's the other part of it. There is, when he says, I will not leave you orphaned, there's a double meaning to that. Because we as Americans always take it personally, like me, Jim, he'll not leave me orphaned. And that's part of it. That's part of the meaning. But the Bible is so deep that there are generally layers of meaning. And the other layer of meaning is, is that when Jesus says, I will be in you, he's talking to a group of Christians. He's talking to that whole bunch of disciples. He's talking to us as a Christian community, as a church, that Jesus is here in our church, calling us, commanding us to love one another. And that action of love breaks through our willingness to be isolated and lonely and by ourselves. And, you know, if you've never experienced that, I hope you get to. Because you as an individual can, as a Christian, really make a difference in somebody else's life. Because the Spirit of God is in you. Because Jesus is in you. And you can let another person know that they're not alone. That's feeling totally isolated. That's feeling totally away from everybody. And Jesus is saying this to us as individuals, but he's also saying it to the disciples, the whole group, and thus the whole church. And you think, well, gosh, can he do that with me? I mean, I am so messed up. So many things wrong with me. How can Jesus use me to minister to other people, to love other people? And one of the best things, there's a Dutch Reformed priest named Henry Nouwen that actually he taught at Yale Divinity School. But he wrote a book called The Wounded Healer. The Wounded Healer. And one of the points he made is that that people who are wounded, when you realize your life got messed up, that is a huge, huge resource for helping to heal other people. That you can get beyond just yourself and your isolation and go out and try to minister the love of Christ to other people, and using your wounds as resources, as being able to say, man, I know how dark it is. Trust me, I know how dark you are right now because I have been there. And God has brought me through it, and God can bring you through it also. And so to be able to use our wounds that way is such a powerful, powerful thing. And if you're just coming out of a dark place, you know, whether it be you're getting over a cancer diagnosis and you rang the bell, you're getting over a deep mental illness because they finally got your prescriptions right, if you're getting over addiction, whatever it is, there is a way for Jesus to use you in a way that other people can't be used because you've been there. It's been that dark for you, and you know it, and you know how it is. And so God is calling us to reach out beyond other people. And I'm going to close with a story, and then I'm going to sing a song about it. But some of you have kidded me about being such a fan and devotee of Wake Forest University, where I went to college. Because, you know, we don't have our sports teams. They're not that great. They are number one in baseball, though. I got to tell you, number one in the nation right now in baseball. Got to prance when you can prance. But it was not because of sports that I love Wake Forest. And it's not because it gave me a good education, although it did. But what Wake did for me was the people that I got that came there, I'm just going to tell you this story, and you may have heard it before, healed me. My freshman year there, I was wandering around, and I was in a dark, dark place. A lot of things that I'd pushed down and pushed down growing up kind of overwhelmed me at that point. I was in a depression. I was going to see campus ministers, and I didn't like them. They were dumb, and that's the accurate word I used for it. And, you know, and one night, I remember this so clearly. I was walking on campus, and I walked by this little chapel, and the windows were open. And I heard this song being sung inside by a bunch of people. And it went, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And it's called Passing On. And I had heard that the summer before at the Montreat Youth Conference. And it was like a moth drawn to the flame. You know, I went there. And what I wanted so badly was just to be able to sneak in the back. It was a whole chapel, a little bit smaller than this, full of college kids. There was not, I was looking for the grown-up. There was no grown-up making them do this. They were just there. And they had guitars, and they were singing, and they stopped singing, and then somebody would share, you know, something that the Lord did for them in their lives. And so I pulled this big old oak door, and it right when the music stopped, and it went, yeah! And I looked, and everybody's turned around looking at me. I'm going, hi, hi, Mr. Subtlety here. And so I just kind of sat on the back row. And then when the whole thing finished, all these kids came up to me and were going, hey, what's your name? And they introduced themselves and they go, man, it's so good to see you. And I thought, me? Because I didn't feel like I was worth anything. And they act like they liked me, which was crazy. And this senior girl walked me to my dorm room. And I said, man, I'm coming back to this church. Babe evangelism is what that was. And in the process of being with that group of Christians, that fellowship of Christians, it healed those dark spots in me. It healed those dark places in me. And I mean, back in those days, I would never be able to stand in front of a group of people like this, ever. I would never be able to get in front of people and play guitar and sing, ever. But their love for me gave me a sense of worth. Because they loved me, I began at some point to think that God loved me and that maybe I could love me too. And that's what you and I can do for other people, even though we feel like being alone. But when we're alone, we just isolate ourselves. When we're alone, we're saying to God, I'd rather be an orphan, even though Jesus said, I will not leave you orphaned. So I'm gonna do this song, and it could apply to a lot of different things. It applies to that group especially, though, that reached out to me and love me. And maybe you'll find, and you know, since it's Mother's Day, perhaps your mother loved you this way. My mom did. Love you with all your flaws. And yet, we still keep trying to push people away, don't we? And we even try to keep pushing God away. But God wants to take our hand. So anyway, this is in your, if you're listening online, it's in the extras. And I'm going to have them put up here on the screen too in the sanctuary. It's called I'm So Glad. When I'm left alone, I seem to make a mess of things. It must be in my genes when by myself to always crash and burn. I never seem to learn, but I'm so glad you gave your hand to me. If not for you, I can't imagine where on earth I'd be. Left to my own device, I never reach the goal. Dig myself a hole, I know what's right, but I do just the reverse till I finally get immersed in it. I'm so glad you gave your hand to me. If not for you, I can't imagine
where on earth I'd be. Time after time I would fall on my face, and sometimes I push you away. But time after time, night after night, you keep saying you wanted to stay. So here we are, the past is left behind, the future ours to find. Now I look towards the day, with all that we've been through, I might do some good for you. Maybe I'm so glad you gave your hand to me. If not for you, I can't imagine where on earth. I'm so glad you gave your hand to me. If not for you, I can't imagine where on earth I'd be. Where on earth I'd be. Where on earth I'd be.
Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for reaching out to us, offering us your hand, sometimes through other people. And we do push you away a lot, and we do push people away a lot. But thank you for just keeping on, keeping on, and keeping on reaching out to us. And Lord, as we heal, help us to overcome our inclination to just do everything alone by ourselves. And give us the power of your Spirit of truth that's inside of us to go beyond ourselves and to reach out for other people and to be that healing hand to other people that fulfills your command to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.